This is Terror House Radio with Matt Forney and Bryden Proctor.
Hey everyone, welcome to a Terror House Radio episode number 76. I'm Matt Forney, your sharp from the Gracious House, the chief of Terror House Press. With me is my co-host and occasional producer, the world's only comedian, Bryden Proctor.
I couldn't hear you through like the whole intro, Matt. You're doing good. You're doing great, Matt.
Good.
You're doing so good.
And speaking of which, our guest for this program is comedian Josh Denny.
An actual comedian.
Hey, guys.
Former host of the Food Network and current host of Next Week Tonight.
I refuse to participate in any podcast that doesn't have only state-of-the-art audio engineering. It has to be flawless. No echoes.
I get the new computer and already something is messed up.
Now, Josh is talking about he did the whole flame stream where he was like, you know who's bad? Every person except me. And his podcast, they're bad at podcasting. And then his audio was just like, you know who's bad at podcasting? You know who's bad at podcasting? Everyone else.
Yeah, it's always good to do your one shit talking podcast of the year to also have that be your worst engineered show of the year. But like, listen, man, it's one of those things. It's like, When you're like on one and you're just fucking going after somebody, or you're just speaking your mind emotionally, you can't really like, let's do another take of that. You know what I mean? So I was like, I'm not going to go back and do a whole nother, 2 hour show of this shit talk. They can struggle through it. And what's even funnier is, they'll be tortured through listening to the bad audio because their ego is so big. They have to hear everything that was said about them. So I almost should have played it off like I did it on purpose, And you're going to hate listening to it too.
Dude, I've definitely done that. And I'm sure you have too, Matt. When somebody's like, oh, so-and-so was talking shit about you on your podcast. You're like, oh yeah, I don't even care. And then you go listen to the whole fucking thing, searching through. Like, where do they say Bryden's gay? And it's like a 3-minute thing where they're like, yeah, he's not funny and his Twitter is stupid and I've reported him. And
People actually send that to me whenever someone shit talks me on a podcast or whatever. They're like, oh, they shit talked you here. And it's like, yeah, and I listen to it. I won't pretend I'm better than that.
For me, it just depends, right? Like, people send it to me all the time. Because, the fans of podcasts love to antagonize between podcasts. You know, they're all like fucking fans at a Wendy Williams taping. and depending on what it is, I'll go listen. But oftentimes I don't, because it's the same old shit. And a lot of it is so based in non-truth that it's like there's no point in listening to it. You'll just get irate. You know, you're sitting there defending things that you know that they know are not true. And sometimes the only reason I did the one the other day is like, sometimes people go so far with it where you're just like, all right, let's get the record straight here. So that's what that show was. And
here's the thing here, because people that may not know, Josh Denny used to be the host of Ginormous Foods, which they wouldn't let him use the name Big Fat Fucking Fat Ass Eats Foods. But I'm sorry. Okay, I call Matt Fat. I'm sorry if that hurts.
That's already that's already 5 of their shows. I mean, if they gave me that name, what would the Barefoot Contessa do for her next show?
I don't know anything on the Food Network. I'm too fat to know. I only go to Taco Bell. But he got fired for a tweet, and I actually do have the tweet right here.
Never got fired.
Well, that's not what George Takei says. And yeah,
right,
I have,
exactly.
I have the tweet here, and this is 100% Josh Denny. Slavery, huh? What a great fucking idea.
Yeah, that's
that was the one. That was not, the one he did.
That's not the one.
I don't know where you got that from. That's
no,
mild.
No, it's not real.
I didn't tweet that. I agree with it, but I didn't, I think it's a pretty great idea.
It's not. Slavery's a bad idea. Oh yeah,
then everybody hold your iPhones up and throw them away if you think slavery is so bad.
Damn. All
and right, probably your computers fair. Too.
Yeah, and your computers and you name it.
The USB, the microphone, basically everything in your house.
Yeah.
Including probably your clothes. So the thought of Bryden naked is horrifying, but
Yeah, everybody take off your clothes, throw your phones in the trash, and burn your apartments to the ground if you really don't like slavery. So
They pay him a little, and government money or whatever. But no, the tweet, just so we can get everybody kind of caught up, because the only thing that I care about is this Mark Summers shit, because it shattered my world.
Ah, that's funny.
Dude. So anyway, Josh got fired. I think it was like, and it was a really true tweet that saying racist to white people has the same effect as, you know, saying the N-word is just kind of a modern day version of it. And the whole point of it is to like demoralize people and shit like that, right?
Yeah, it was basically saying people are using the word straight white male like people used to use the N-word.
Right.
Which they've only continuously proven me right since that happened. I mean, they're literally like Twitter spaces every day now where it's a bunch of black people on there going like, I am fine with the eradication of the white race. It's like, all right, well,
they've got a new term called mayo monkey for white people.
It rolls.
Oh, is that, I've never heard that.
Oh, there was a huge hashtag a couple days ago. Male monkeys, like, out of control or something.
Now, are you sure they're not talking about, like, research monkeys at the Mayo Clinic? Because that could be a thing.
COVID. Yeah, I think it rules. Every time I hear a new slur against white people, I get really excited about it. Or like,
that's not a bad one. I mean, they've got some really corny ones. Like, Mayflower is one.
What's that even? What is
a white person.
Never heard that one.
Yeah, oh, because it's so corny. Shit.
Well, because of the ship, I guess, probably, right? The Mayflower.
Yeah. Oh, cologne. Yeah, it's like a colonialist thing.
No, that's kind of badass, though.
Yeah, that is kind of badass. I'm like, yeah, it was one of those Mayflower motherfuckers. Like, yeah, I came over on the first one.
You can tell that, like, Mayo Monkey was invented by a black person who's still close to the ghetto because it's still got that edge to it. It's like, it just sounds inventive. Like, Mayflower was clearly invented by someone who went to college.
Yeah. And we're at least fifth grade.
Yeah, and you know, we're known for eating mayonnaise on everything, which I guess that's why Mayo Monkey.
Well, that's just fucking true, though. Like, I went to a Subway a couple years ago, and it was a black guy making the sandwich. The sandwich artist was there. And I was like, light mayonnaise. And he took that to mean, like, low-fat mayonnaise and put a shit ton of mayo on there. And I was fine. It's like
that mayo thing actually is true in one part of the world, the ex-Soviet Union. If you go to a supermarket in like Georgia, the country, Armenia, Russia, there will literally be an entire aisle dedicated to mayonnaise.
Sounds great.
Wow.
Oh yeah, and even in like I think the Netherlands even has their own special variety of mayonnaise just for dipping French fries.
That's a Canadian thing, I thought, but it's probably out there, huh?
Oh, yeah. They really love their mayonnaise in Europe. Not so much in the U.S., but in Europe, it's parts of Europe. It's definitely true.
Well, you mix the mayo with the ketchup, and that's a, you know, that's fry sauce. That's great. No, it's good, Matt. You got to try it.
I can't stand mayonnaise on French fries.
All right. Well, you're fucking Mexican now or whatever, so that's fine.
Only Tabasco sauce for me, senor.
Good grief. But yeah, so anyway, he quits the Food Network or whatever it is. And then the most important part of this entire story is that Mark Summers of Double Dare is apparently a fucking psychopath. And
yo,
that's
understatement of the year. So let me give you a little background on this. My contract with the Food Network runs out, and then the whole cancellation happens 6 months later. And there's really not a whole lot of fallout from that right away. I mean, I got dropped by my agents at UTA, and all of my pitch meetings and stuff, that all fizzled out. So I was out trying to pitch a new food show, and all that stuff went to sleep.
Can we pause for a second during the story? And there will be several, because I am very drunk. What was the new show? Because you already were eating the biggest food in the world. Was it going to be the smallest?
Anything, no, it wasn't anything like that. It was a completely different concept in the space. It wasn't big food or small food or anything like that.
Just middle food.
Yeah, no, it was more just like, it was actually more about trying to get to like the culture and the history behind food. You know, for people on an individual level, not just like, we're going to go to India and see how Indians make Indian food. Spoiler alert, everything's cooked over our dried shit. It's just, you know, it wasn't
like
that.
We're going to go to Haiti and watch them cook Haitian food. Spoiler alert, it's just dirt.
Yeah, it's just like, you know, those shows have been made a million times. But I had a unique concept that I wanted to do. And I was, you know, I was trying to do it at Food Network or TLC or something. And I had just pitched it to Magical Elves, which is the production company that does Top Chef. Because the production company that did my show didn't like my idea. And then I went to Magical Elves and they were like, we love this idea. We want to shoot something and go pitch it.
We got an idea.
And what's
racist
that?
Racist foods.
Yeah. Well, there would have been some of that. That wasn't really the whole plot of the show, but that would have been part of it. You know, like why did slaves make things so tasty? Let's unpack it for a 30-minute episode. So, so time goes by, things cool off with like TV, and I'm still doing a little bit of stand up around LA, but you know, Bryden, that doesn't pay anything. You're just doing spots and trying to stay sharp. So, I'm not really doing the road. And then my old boss hits me up and goes, hey man, I want to create a position for you at this company I'm working for. It was a golf apparel company called Travis Matthew. And so I go in and I go through this whole interview process, and they're like recruiting me for almost a year. Like, yeah, we don't know if we have it in the budget to bring you on yet. And then they get to a point where they have the budget. I go in, I interview with the president and, you know, my old boss, and then their company president and everything else. Me and the president hit it off. We have a really good time shooting the shit on the interview. They extend me the offer. They create the position. I go in, and on the second day working there, this is fast forward now, we're in March of 2019. And on my second day working there, I get brought into the office at HR, and they pull up everything from my Twitter cancellation a year ago.
Right.
And they just go, is this you? And it's like, well, obviously, no. Right? Like, obviously, no. It's fucking me. You know what I mean? And the weird thing is like everybody there knew I had been on television, had hosted my own show, was a comedian. So that wasn't a surprise. And yet somehow they were trying to make this case that that like stuff I did as a comedian online or otherwise was somehow reflective of how I would be in the professional workspace, right?
Interesting. How that happens. Yeah.
Even though those two things have nothing to do with each other, and all the years I worked for my old boss and other companies, I was also doing stand up, and that was never an issue. So, anyway, they fire me, and I got really jammed up bill wise because I had sort of put a lot of stuff off and went, well, as soon as the first paycheck comes in from this job, I'll be able to catch up on a bunch of shit. Car payment that was behind. You know, rent, all that stuff. So getting fired on the second day like really fucked up my plans financially, and so we did a GoFundMe and just said like, hey man, like if we don't cover these fucking 5-6 grand of bills right away, we're gonna get evicted. We've already had our car repossessed, etc. It's just been a now, real shit say, month.
When you say we,
me and my girlfriend.
Okay.
Yeah. So anyway, Mark Summers, who was friends with me, we had become friends since I started working in Food Network. He did my podcast, my old podcast, March of the Pigs. We went out to lunch a few times and hung out. And he always had this fucking attitude of like, yeah, man, like you and I are both rogues. The network doesn't like us. You know, like the PR people don't like me. You know, he's like, we're both Philly guys. We say what's on our mind. And I was like, cool, man. I never knew that about you. I just thought you were like this Square TV host, but that's
nothing,
cool.
No. He's completely right. Nothing is edgier than making an entire family compete against another family to crawl up a nose.
Right. Right, exactly. So anyway, I go, oh, cool. And he, you know, he like cursed like crazy. And I was like, oh, this guy's like my speed. So anyway, he sees the post on.
Wait again. I like that because you're roughly, I'm 34, you're roughly my age, right? You're 38. Oh shit. Wow, you're oof.
Oh yeah, I'm on my deathbed.
You're a COVID liability, I think. Yeah. But like I mean you grew up with Double Dare and shit like that.
Of course, yeah.
You know, so the fact
so that to I, see a guy who was squeaky clean be like, "Yeah, fuck that bitch." I was right. Like, "This guy's fucking cool."
Right.
You know? It's
finding out that Bob Saget does blue comedy shows.
Yeah, right? It was kind of like that. I was like, oh shit, this dude's hardcore. All right. You know, he would talk about different women at the Food Network that worked in different departments. He was like, oh yeah, she's a fucking cunt. And I was like, this guy's awesome.
Mark Summers rules.
Yeah, I was like, Mark Summers is like low key a badass. And then so anyway, We become friends. He sees the post and he doesn't really know what the fuck's going on. So he picks up the phone and calls me and goes, hey man, like what's going on? And I see you guys got jammed up financially. What happened? So I told him about getting fired from the job. And he's like, dude, that's fucked up. He's like, I can't believe that a company would fire you for shit you do as a comedian. That's ridiculous. He's like, I don't want to put anything publicly on the internet. So I'm going to send you
on the
something.
Mark Summers brand.
Right. He's like, I'll send you something privately. He goes, give me your address and I'll send you guys something. I want to help you out. It's a gift. You don't have to pay me back. Just like he's like, you're a good dude. You'll get back on your fucking feet. You'll be on your way.
Mark, good Samaritan.
And I'm like, yeah. So I'm like, cool. So the dude sends me a check for $1,300, which I was like, holy shit, that's great. That's damn near a month's rent. That's going to be massive, right?
$100 less than what Biden sent us.
Yeah. So that's cool. And I say, thank you. I'm very appreciative, whatever. Don't think anything of it. We stay in touch. So now you're going into sort of like end of 2019. We're getting into the pandemic. We stay in touch. I'm like, hey man, how's your health? Everything else, et cetera, et cetera. And then what happens is he starts to get really passive aggressive on Twitter about my being conservative, right? Like all of a sudden now he starts to have a problem with me being questioning of the vaccine or
and this was this was 2019.
Well, no, this starts like in 2020 and okay. It's ramped all the way up here to 2021. So it's sporadic. He would go in and like comment on tweets about stuff like, what are you, one of these QAnon guys? And I was like, Mark, you have my number. If you want to know what I think, just give me a call. Like,
but this is a post-Trump world. Like,
yes, this is after like Biden's in office.
Okay.
Like this is post-Trump presidency all the way.
This is post-insurrection, post-inauguration.
All of that, right?
Post-reality.
Well, yeah, we're talking well into 2020, 2021. He starts getting more antagonistic on social media and like just commenting on things. And listen, when people come at me on social media, I generally ignore it. But if you're somebody who knows me in real life, who I've sat down with and had lunch with and has my fucking phone number and gave to our GoFundMe. I'm like, yo, if you really want to understand where I'm coming from, pick up the phone and call me. Like, don't fucking tweet at me on social media or whatever, or like virtue signal in my comments to make it look like you're on the right side of history by using me as some sort of whipping post.
Well, it's also kind of weird because, like, I mean, and no offense to you and no offense to Mark Summers, it's not like you guys are Kanye and Kim, you
right.
know?
Yeah, like, it's not who's paying attention to what the fuck we're doing?
Mark Summers and Josh Denny beef. Like, it seems like it's a weird thing. It's not an attention-grabbing thing.
Yeah.
This message is just weird.
Yeah, and so anytime I share anything that is, like, enlightening about the vaccination or, like, cover-up or anything, like, I shared a couple Project Veritas videos where they're literally showing that they're not reporting to VAERS. They're not reporting, you know. So these are, like, things that are, like, real. They're not – this isn't a fucking opinion. This isn't me going on the internet and going – yeah, I believe in Pizzagate. You know what I mean? Like, this is literally like, here's a fucking video of a woman who works at this government funded hospital who's saying they're telling us not to report to VAERS. So I'm like, that's concerning. Regardless of what you think about vaccination, you should look at that with a scrutinizing eye and go, that's fucking concerning. So he would start going in, like commenting on shit like that. Like, dude, you're fucking losing it. You're losing it. You're going crazy. And I'm like, going crazy. I'm sharing shit that's on that 10 million people on the internet have shared. we're all starting to look around and going like, shit ain't adding up, you know?
Yeah.
And so I texted him at that point. I was like, hey, dude, if you ever want some elaboration on what I'm talking about, pick up the phone and call. And he doesn't reply, just keeps coming at me on social media. So at one point on social media, and I think this ran up against when I had the abortion tweets go viral in September, when I was basically applauding the Texas abortion ban and saying like, yeah, man, I think this is a step in the right direction. And then of course, being a little hyperbolic and being like, women were like, I didn't even know I was pregnant until 70 weeks and just saying dumb, absurd shit. And so then I tweeted, only whores wouldn't know they're fucking pregnant after 6 weeks, which is obviously me riling people up. So anyway, I put that out there and he starts with the passive aggressive commenting in the thing. And I go, yo, dude, like, I appreciate your friendship and everything you've done over for me over the years, but like, go fuck yourself. Right. Don't sit here and be passive aggressive with me on Twitter. You have my number or whatever. You want to have a conversation, pick up the phone like a man and talk to me. Otherwise, go fuck yourself. And then he replies, pay me back the money you owe me. That's not passive aggressive. That's just aggressive. So then I get off social media and I text him and go, hey man, so I'll pull it up right now and tell you exactly what I said.
Oh shit.
Pulling it up. I keep all the fucking receipts.
I still feel bad. I just started the show by calling him fat because I'm so used to calling Matt fat. I'm fat too. No,
Dave, facts are facts, man.
Yeah, I know.
So anyway, I go, I said, so this is September 1st, 8:30 p.m. I go, so your gift was now a loan because you don't like my politics? Nice. He goes, apparently you don't care about fucking up what's left of your career. Get some help. I said, my career, that's your concern? I go, I haven't changed, Mark. I'm the same guy I've always been. I didn't know your friendship, help, or mentorship was contingent upon me cowering to you or your personal beliefs. Then he goes, go away, I'm done. He, spoiler alert, he was not done. And I go, if you really want your money back, I'll raise it and pay it back to you. He goes, that statement says a great deal. Forget it. Not needed. Be well. I said, you lent a hand in tough times. You called and offered to help. I didn't ask you. I offered to pay you back and you refused. You said you're a good guy and you'll do well with it. Now you went online and tried to paint me as some deadbeat that borrowed money from you and didn't pay it back. And I'm the piece of shit. I go, that's rich. He goes, you asked me for money. I go, I absolutely did not, Mark. You called and offered. And he goes, please lose my number. I'm through responding. Good luck. Stay healthy. Bye. I go, again, I insisted you didn't have to do it. You insisted you wanted to. I go, you're exactly what people mean when they talk about two-faced Hollywood. And then, so no reply to that. And then September 21st, he just sends me this, vaccine doesn't work. You really need help. Right.
Wait.
So obviously responding to something I posted on social media.
That was
right?
Random.
And then October. Yeah. So then October 4th comes out. And so I had posted a clip from Jankum. Like I sometimes post clips to promote the show.
This is a podcast.
Yeah. And, it was me and Mike Keegan joking about how in the Jewish neighborhoods, like nothing ever shut down. We were like, oh, this pandemic has been really good for Jews. Like they're still making money and still doing shit or whatever. Cause they're just not, they didn't close anything. So I'm assuming just because we said the word Jews, he sends me anti-Semitic prick. That's it. October 4th. No context, just that. So anyway, he brings this up, and then what happens is like my trolls and haters start messaging Mark Summers and going, tell us more about this money Josh Denny owes you. So here's what I didn't tell you yet about this story. And this is why you always keep your receipts, fellas. Later that year, Mark Summers gave money to our GoFundMe, he said, hey man, I want to write off that charitable donation. Send me your tax stuff so I can report it on my taxes. I go, okay, no problem. So what he does is instead of writing it as a charitable donation to me, he bills it to me as work income to his company for almost double the amount he sent. He sends me basically a 1099 saying he paid me $2,500 out of his company. Fucking straight up tax fraud.
Hey, I'm Mark Summers and welcome to tax fraud.
Right. And so he doesn't think I save all this stuff. Like I just send all my originals in when I do my taxes and don't make copies of shit. Like taxes aren't done online and everything is scanned in. And then you actually just keep your hard copies because it's the fucking new millennium. So he starts going in on this shit with people and like, yeah, I loaned him money and blah, blah. I go, listen, you lying motherfucker. And I literally posted this shit on Twitter, redacted. I didn't share his personal information, but I go, why do I have this fucking MISC 1099 form from you billing me for double what you sent? So you're either lying when you say you loaned me money or you're lying to the IRS. Which one is it? And by the way, if it's a loan, you can't fucking write it off on your taxes, homie. So which one is it? I've got proof that it ain't alone. So what are you going to do? Come clean? Then he finally blocks me on Twitter, right? And I had only done this after he kept commenting on shit and commenting on shit. And I'm like, all right, bro, I'm going to blow up your spot and show everybody that you're a fucking tax fraud. And
try
a liar.
Blocking the IRS.
Yeah, have fun with that. And by the way, I did report his shit to the IRS when I did my taxes. Like, this is not what I was sent. I'm being over fucking tax billed for this. So, you know, enjoy your audit, homie.
I do want to end Mark. I feel like I have to come to Mark Summers' defense. He did double dare. All Irish people are a charity case. So you should be able to write that off.
Yeah, listen, man. I'm just saying, if you're going to try to be the fucking beacon of sanity, don't commit tax fraud and then, you know, fuck with the person who you tried to commit tax fraud in their name.
That's just so bizarre. And like when I saw the whole tweet thread when it went down, and it changed my mind about Mr. Summers, because that was like
a lot of people's minds.
Yeah. I mean, it was like, he's that guy from when I was a kid and the double dare. I always wanted to be on that show. You could win like a radio or a CD player and shit. Nobody ever could get the flag out of the pancake. It was a whole deal. And you were mad at your mom because she couldn't do it. Family double dare. That was a great show. And then it turns out he's just crazy. I figured he was a shit-lip, dude. I figured he was a shit-lip.
That's a safe assumption.
Right. You know, he works at the fucking Nickelodeon shit. He's probably into feet and shit. But, you know, just sending random texts to someone and be like, the vaccine's fucking fake. You're gay.
Is right.
Insane fucking thing to do. I didn't know Mark Summers. He's fucking, how old is Mark Summers?
70. I think he just turned 70.
Well, fuck, he's got the Biden syndrome then. Like, he's too gone then. That's a shame, damn it.
Well, and you know, and then you start to, like, you start to go back and think, like, wait a minute. Did you somehow think that, like, by loaning me money, or not even loaning me money, but giving money to us?
Yeah, careful.
Yeah, no, clearly. Obviously, he didn't loan me money if he sent me a fucking 1099 for it. But you thought by investing in our GoFundMe or, like, helping us out during hard times that, like, I was somehow headed for a new show that I was then going to go to you and go, can you produce this with your company, Mark? Because that's what he was talking to me about over the years when we would have lunches and stuff. It's like, hey man, like, you know, I have my production company, you know, I'd love to do something with you. And we, you know, if you got something, let's figure it out. And he would tell me stories about, he told me a story about how he was supposed to produce Eliza. He was like mentoring Eliza Schlesinger at some point. And then he expected her to let him produce her first special, and she didn't. And he was like, yeah, fuck her. She's a cunt. And I'm like, yeah, I mean, she's never been nice to me, but all right. Like, you guys have your personal beef. And then I sit back and I think, like, oh no, how much of that story was just, I'm fucking crazy. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
were you supposed to do her special, or did you guys never discuss that? You just assumed if you mentored this girl or were nice to her, she was just going to hand you money and work.
Yeah, it's one of those moments where you realize the person you've been talking to is completely bonkers, insane, and you have to reevaluate every single thing they've ever told you, every interaction you've ever had, and
yeah,
wonder who's least, and wonder how much of it is truth.
Terror House Radio.
Right, exactly. It's just like, and the answer is probably none of it. You know what I mean? Like, probably none of it was true. So, you know, and then you start to wonder, like, I wonder how much back channeling goes on, you know, and my whole experience with the Food Network, I've documented this many, many, many times. It's like, they bet on me because I was a nobody. They didn't have to pay me a lot. My show way outperformed expectations. And then they started to get really, like, kind of controlling about who I was on social media, what kind of stuff I was doing as a comedian, whatever. And would go to like very underhanded lengths to try to control me. Like they had the producer from my company that produced my show come out and take me to dinner, like right before they were deciding if they were going to bring us back for a full third season, and try to talk me out of being a stand-up. Like,
wait,
literally
what?
Was like, yeah, man, like you could, you know, you're doing really well with this TV shit. Like maybe you don't even want to do stand-up. Maybe you just want to lean into this TV stuff full time. And I was like, no, the whole reason I took this show was to build my name so that I can continue being a stand-up and continue growing my career as a stand-up.
I knew that Hollywood was the devil, but they literally tried to get you to stop doing tried the to one talk good me thing
into
ever.
Quitting comedy. Yeah, tried to talk me into quitting comedy. The very thing that helped them discover me, by the way.
Yeah, but it's the one good thing ever is stand-up.
Right. I mean,
it's like a chick who's like into a guy who's like into like this dancer stuff or whatever, and then like they get married and it's like, oh, you have to stop doing that now.
Stop doing everything you love. You know how you love fantasy football with the boys and going out drinking and everything? Yeah, you don't have a life anymore.
Josh, you touched a nerve. I don't want to fucking talk about fantasy football at all
because he keeps losing and I keep winning.
Bro, I've won 9 games in a row this season.
Fuck both of you.
Ten games in a row, dude.
I'm on my way to 10. If my man Jonathan Taylor keeps doing what he do, fuck yeah, I'm gonna be
I'm like
all
fucking
over it.
5-7. Kiss my ass. I talk so much shit at the beginning of the season. Like I've got this. No, I don't like the fantasy. Change subjects to other shit.
And Brian
about other things.
And Brian did like all this research on which players were the best. I did no research, and the computer fucked up my draft of the game.
He auto drafted.
Yeah, and I fucking
I did. I did sort of auto draft as well. I missed like half my picks. Fuck and this man. Is and then I of course I end up with Matt Stafford, Jonathan Taylor, Austin Eckler, Cooper Kupp.
I have Stafford.
I had Jonathan Taylor in that fucking week 2 weeks ago when he had 5 touchdowns. Oh, it was a bloodbath.
Well, you know what? It's bullshit because like half my team, I feel like I have Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
Yeah, my team, I've got Lamar Jackson. I've got Dalton Schultz, Rob Gronkowski, Amari Cooper, Deebo Samuel. I had Derrick Henry before he got knocked out of the season.
Yeah, that's a safe pick. Not to make it a fantasy football cast, but yeah. So anyway, it's like, it was like that, you know, they're starting to grift. And I remember like we had a conversation, like one of the podcast hosts I was flame throwing on my show the other day where I fucked my audio up. He was so jealous of the fact that I had had a show get picked up that he wrote an email to the network saying like, I'm going to expose this guy as a white supremacist if you don't cancel his show.
Yeah, but you're Irish.
Right. And also, like, they're like, what are you talking about? We got Paula Deen. We're fucking pros at this shit. So anyway, we had like a call at one point in season 2 where they were just like, you know, now that the show is high profile, you got to like watch what you put on social media, even if you're joking. And I'm like, fuck that. If you want to control what I do on social media, then you're going to have to pay me. Like, you're telling me don't continue to try to build a following and a fan base for the kind of comedy I do. Now that, you know, thousands and thousands of people are going to my social media every week because they'll see the show and they'll go, who is this guy? And you know, they're like my producers, the network and everybody, they're debating on this call. Like, well, maybe if he only does this or maybe if he only does that. And I just cut him off and I go like, listen, guys, if you want me to sell out, make me an offer. Like, if you're asking me to sell out, you're paying me $4,000 an episode. If you want me to not do comedy, I'll just do Food Network shit for the next 10 years. You could cut me a check for fucking $20 million. You can have me for the next 10 years. I won't do anything that's not Food Network related. But if you guys are asking me to bend here and do this and do that, we're going to have to go back to the negotiating table. Nobody said a fucking word, right? Because I threw out a price. I was like, you know, and I think even one of my producers, whatever, was like, yeah, we'd all like, you know, it all like $20 million. And I go, you guys can counter with something less. That's what I threw out. That's what I think 10 years of my fucking life and future is worth to not be able to decide what I think every day publicly, you know?
Well, a couple things. One, and you know, I'm not on Food Network side here. Well, let's just start with the easier one. $4,000 an episode. How long did it take to record a fucking episode?
One episode was a day of travel, 3 days of filming, and a day of post. So you're basically making $1,000 a day.
That's pretty good, but
not life changing. You know right. what I mean? Like, it's not like they walked in, fucking unloaded a Brinks truck on my living room, and are like, "Why are you talking about black people on the internet?" You know.
Well, and here's the thing too, especially if you're, you know, just trying to continue being funny, and you couldn't have continued to be funny on the Food Network. Nobody on the Food Network is funny.
No,
nobody. Now,
a matter of fact, they were like, I remember they're having conversations. I'd be like, "Why'd you cut that bit out? That was funny." And they're like, "Yeah, the network doesn't like it when you try to be funny." And I'm like, "What the fuck did you hire a comedian for then?"
You're just a guy that looks like he's ginormous foods, man.
Yes, exactly. I look like a retarded dad. That's what they loved.
They were
like, if we could dad you the fuck out and just tell, you know, we want you to be like Everybody Loves Raymond, just stupid and wrong all the time.
Well, and you should have, you know, you should have put in your contract anyway. It was like, you realize you're literally killing me, right? Like, I'm going to get artists.
Oh, yeah, no. No, it's amazing. As I came out of that, I did a physical for life insurance like 4 or 5 months after the show and after we stopped filming. And my doctor was like, "Holy shit, dude, your stuff is actually perfect. Your cholesterol is fine." He's like, "Your fucking blood sugar is fine." He's like, this is a medical anomaly. He's like, "You're overweight." He's like, "You're like 60 pounds overweight, but your fucking blood work is great."
Oh, you got to get back on that show. You look like you're dying now.
I know, right?
No, I'm
all
kidding.
All my hair's graying.
Ah, it's not graying. It's red as ever. Oh, you do have a little gray.
Yeah, look at all this white in here, man. I didn't get cummed on. That shit is genetic.
Just makes you look distinguished, dude. Come on. Josh Jenny, ladies and gentlemen.
Speaking of which, if you have any questions for Josh, Brian, or myself, streamlabs.com/terrorhousemagazine. I will read your tips later on the show.
No, I mean, if they were trying to tell you, fuck you, you're not doing comedy anymore, which is essentially what they were doing, but in a nice, you know, oh, fuck you, you're not doing comedy anymore voice. I don't know why they didn't respond with something, because like if somebody were to tell me you're not allowed to tweet stuff anymore, that's fine. I don't care. I won't have a Twitter in 3 or 4 months anyway. They're going to ban me. You know, the new guy's in charge. It's fine. Doesn't matter. I get banned. It's fine. But you like you have a like how long have you had your check? What, since 2017-ish?
Yeah, since the show. So 2016.
Okay. Yeah, because everybody got theirs 2016, 2017, except for me, because I've never done anything of value. But did they not come to you about that? Like, hey,
no, here's the crazy thing. They did a whole fucking, so this is what people don't understand. And I talked about this with Amanda Prestigiacomo over at the Daily Wire when I did the story about when they denounced me on Food Network, which was the first time they ever commented on anything I've done on social media. What was interesting about that is not only is it really interesting now because they're like, we don't agree with his views and we regret ever having given him a platform. So you don't agree with my pro-life views, but you'll take fucking money from anti-abortion advertisers, right? So like this, what is it? I shared it. It's like the 2233 or some shit like that. It's their website is the number of babies that are aborted every day. They fucking advertise on Discovery Plus, and they run those ads every commercial break for like weeks at a time. So you actually take money from hardcore anti-abortion PACs, but you denounce my views publicly. That makes sense.
I mean, but anyway, that's making me like the Food Network a little bit more. I mean, I hate it for you, but like, you know, ridiculous. It's good that.
They would just go, well, it's capitalism. They pay us. You didn't. Okay, no problem. I didn't ask you to retweet me. When you sign what's called a futures contract, so before you get a show picked up, if you shoot a pilot or whatever, you basically agree to the terms of service for your employment before they decide whether they're going to hire you or not. So you have to sign a contract that says, this is how much I'll make for the next 5 years per episode. And it goes up from year one to year two to year three, whatever. We had to negotiate. We were negotiating that right down till the day we started filming the pilot. It was like the night before we're in the hotel signing contracts because, you know, my lawyer was like hammering them.
So it's not like a cool thing where it's in like some big guy's office. It's in a Motel 8.
No, we were literally printing the fucking contracts in the Motel Business Center. You know, it was a nice hotel. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. And, you know, we were squabbling over. What's amazing, though, is like we were going back and forth about the money. And my lawyer told me straight up, he goes, listen, man, most of the time these shows, you should start around 10 grand an episode. Now, you haven't done anything. You don't really have any stand-up credits or on TV or anything like that. Four's okay. He goes, but we should definitely be fighting to get you up. He goes, and you know, if the show does really well, we can always renegotiate. He goes, and we can even put in that we're going to renegotiate if the show hits certain numbers.
What year was this that you were doing this?
2016.
Dude, that's like 2 years away from you were doing shows with me.
So, I know.
Like, you kind of blew the fuck up.
Well, it was, dude, it fell in my lap. Like, I make no mistake. It wasn't like I was out fucking auditioning for shit. I had done some stuff in the food influencer space and made some contacts.
What does that mean? Like that hot dog
Like a social media company looks for people who have a decent sized following. And then like the one of the things I did was for Time Out LA, the magazine.
Sure.
They were doing a thing called Time Out Night Out. And it was like 10 social media influencers or whatever that had decent sized followings. And they wanted to take us to different restaurants or whatever that they were going to write about. And then we were going to, you know, eat the food, take pictures, share stuff on social media, whatever.
And somebody saw you eating a hot dog and was like, "What, this faggot?"
No, I just had started, you know, I'd started like doing more stuff in the food space. And then I don't even know how I had the March of the Pigs podcast, which was me going to a restaurant with comedians and then just talking about food for an hour. And so the producer Libby from
comedians in restaurants getting heart attacks. Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So the producer for Lucid Media, Libby, she had like discovered me, found me, and was like, "We want to bring you in and test you for shows." And I kind of blew her off in the beginning. I thought it was somebody fucking with me. And eventually, like, I self-taped, that worked. I flew to Atlanta. We filmed what's called a sizzle, which is like a one act of a pilot. They sent that to Travel and Food Network and they liked it. So then they paid for a pilot. They liked the pilot. The pilot did well. They ordered a series and the series was one of the highest rated new shows in a decade. So then they immediately sent us to season two and ordered the first half of season three, like right out of the gate. The show premiered to like 1.3 million viewers, which for Food Network is double what their shows averaged in that time slot.
I don't know one show on the Food Network. Besides yours, that's not
most of them do. Most of them do anywhere from like, you know, travel shows do about 300. A good travel show does 600,000 viewers. A good Food Network show does about 600,000 to 800,000. And we premiered at 1.3 at our week two episode in my hometown of Philly. Did 1.6 million in the live plus three. I mean,
just in Philly.
Just the Philly episode. No. This is nationwide, you know, Nielsen numbers.
Oh, okay. I was just saying, if everybody in Philly was watching that episode, you're a fucking Philly legend. Yeah, and they'll build a statue of you right next to fucking Ralph.
They don't got enough concrete to build a statue of me, motherfucker. You better get your masonry up. You're gonna do a statue of me. I'm more of a mural build. You know what I mean? It's easier to paint someone of my size than to sculpt it.
We'll get out. Oh my god. Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, so,
it's fine. We'll keep going. I won't talk about how great it would be, the George Floyd murals. It's fine. It's fine.
Just watch out for the lightning bolts.
It's just him on his neck. I mean, it's fine. Go ahead.
So anyway, yeah, what the fuck are we talking about? Yeah, so like, yeah, I fell into it, man. Yeah, it was two years after I was fucking giving dudes like you rides home from fucking shows for 30 people in the back of a bar. Yeah, I was on TV and on one of the highest rated new shows on TV. So it was absolutely fun. My life. It wasn't like I did anything, you know, I was very lucky in getting that opportunity. And I even had conversations with my buddy, Chris. I was like, yeah, man, I don't feel like I've earned this. And he goes, yeah, a lot of times when that happens, my buddy, Chris was on, Viva La Bam. He was on the Jackass TV show. Chris Rab himself.
Oh, you know,
and he
Rab?
Was like, he, yeah, and he, yeah, he's one of my good buddies. So he was like, he's like, yeah, we felt that way when we were on MTV and the show was huge and everything else. He goes, but what you realize is like, you earn it in the work you do doing it. He's like, you might not feel like you earn the opportunity, but if you really want to earn it, show up and do a good job and fucking work hard and, you know, and really put your all into it, that's when you have the opportunity to earn it. And so, you know, I'd made peace with that or whatever.
Matt, hit yourself in the balls. We're going to make it.
Nah.
So, Yeah, but anyway, yeah, it just came out of nowhere, 2016. So we, you know, we negotiated the deal. And this is what's so sleazy about all this stuff is, like, I remember we were right up against it, and Libby called me and she goes, you know, your lawyer is really putting the fucking screws to us on this contract. Like, what is it going to take to get you signed? And I just said to Libby, I go, I'm not doing 100 episodes of television for less than $1 million. I'm just, that would be insane to do 100 episodes of a show and to have not made $1 million. So here's what they did. They literally backloaded the contract so that at 100 episodes, I made exactly $1 million. So it was like 4,000 for the first year, 5,000 for the second year, 8,000 for the third year, and 10,000 an episode for the fourth year. That was literally my initial contract.
And then they fucked you.
And then, yeah, exactly. And then what happened was the show started doing really well, and I signed with UTA, and my agent was like, bro, we're not fucking coming back for year two for $5,000. We're getting your money up. So my agent went to the network and was like, well, you got to get his money up. He's the highest rated new show on TV. He's got to make $10,000 an episode. And my pushback was, you can keep my episode money at 4,000 episode or 4,000 an episode, but you better then make me a producer and start paying me for what I'm writing on the show. Cause I'm basically writing all the content. It's all off the cuff. It's all, but it's like, if the guy writing my voiceovers gets a producer credit, I should get a fucking producer credit and I should get producer money and have some piece of the show. And he goes, well, you're not going to get both. You're not going to get more money and production credit. So we're going to fight for one or the other. I go, cool.
Production credit.
Yeah, get me something. I was like, I'm fine with the, even if the production credit is 2,000 an episode, owning a piece of the show, period, means all the times it's sold into foreign markets and everything else, all the residual, I would get something, right? So I was like, fight for one of those two things. I've either got to have a buyout that makes sense. And the advertising guys came to our taping in Detroit and were telling me how much money the show was making in advertising. And I was like, yo, I need more money. You know what I mean? Like, this, if this show made $100 million in advertising in the first 12 months, I think I should be making more than fucking $4,000 an episode.
From GoFundMe to GoFatMe. Here right. is the story.
Right, exactly. So, well, it was actually GoFatMe to GoFundMe because the yeah. GoFundMe happened at the end. It was after everything crashed down, right?
Soon enough, it will be GoFuckMe.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, listen, I have an OnlyFans. I haven't Jesus, put anything on there it. Yet. I haven't put anything on there yet, but it is a contingency.
No, it's, I don't, here's the thing.
My name on OnlyFans is John Beignet Ramsey.
I don't. Here's the
which
thing.
It will, which will be my porno name. I'll be covered in powdered sugar, and everything will be New Orleans themed.
Why would I watch this? And it's immediately, I was like, yeah, I'd probably watch an episode of it. Like, you know, I mean, it was the highest rated show on Pornhub. Like, I would watch.
Yeah.
There's that. Like, I know what your pubes look like. You red demon. I don't know what Matt's porn's like. I mean, I don't know what his pubes look like. I mean, him and I have been friends for years. I don't know what his pubes look like. Now, me, I shave mine. I shave mine down. I'm a businessman.
But... You're a businessman? That's why you have to shave them down?
Oh, well, you have to. You so know,
you just go into the, do you go into the office and they're like, listen, son, we don't like gentlemen with a fucking... He's you got to have a clean shave on that ball bag. If
is that not what... Is that
he's
not
a traveling... What he's a traveling businessman. You know, the hotel hookers, they like it. They like it, Trev.
Is that, yeah. I'm sorry. Is that not normal for things?
Yeah. The last thing we need around here is a fucking guy with a 9 o'clock shadow. That might have cut it in your old job, son, but not in this, not in this fucking business.
That would, I mean, we're about 6 years away from that happening, but you know, that rules. So we got to look at the future brightly, which is pube checks.
Hey, listen, man, if you're not even allowed to tweet your thoughts on your fucking Twitter,
well, then you're not allowed to job, fuck thoughts.
It's imagine if, you know, everyone goes, oh, they'll never get so intrusive as to check your bag at the fucking way into work every day. Mm. It's like, are you kidding me? We're days away from that.
Yeah, they check my bag all the time they want, you know, just fucking, you know, I'd be like, oh, discharge, sorry. Yeah, that'll rule.
Better get that under control, you won't work here, boy. we can't have any leaky peens around here. The broads will fucking start reporting it.
Ah, no, we are about 10 years away from everybody having to be a girl legally. Like, that's
right. Sir, do you really think you're going to work here with your dick and balls? All right, this is 2030. You better turn that thing into a fake vagina if you want to show up and collect a check from Johnson & Johnson. All right, well, the irony of this is absurd, right? You mean I can't have a Johnson to work at Johnson & Johnson? Absolutely not. We're Johnsonless here.
Johnsonless and Johnson. I mean, they're going to have to change a lot of signs, but fuck, it'll be worth it.
We're Janeson and Janeson.
Janeson and
Janeson. Yeah, is that what they call a man-made pussy, a Janeson?
Well, we're coining it now on the show.
Have you ever watched one get made in a,
no!
in a
server? No!
You've never watched one of those
I have. Okay. We're good. We're getting
I've never been able to watch one. I would throw up everywhere, but glad to know you're open-minded.
Joe the Boomer once posted like a digital like version of that on his, one of his YouTube channels.
And like animated cartoon. I think I would watch a cartoon.
That was bad enough.
Even that's bad. You don't want to do it.
I can watch a PowerPoint. I just can't see a real guy's dick get flipped inside out.
What they do, I mean, you know what they do is they take a cut and then they do the whole deal and then they flip it in.
How do they jam it up? Like, there's not a cavity in there.
Oh, with their hands.
Oh, God. If you imagine if you're that doctor, you're like, I make pussies for a living. And you're like, what? I'm the best pussy man this side of fucking Oxford.
It's just a dude in Thailand who's like, I do not exactly understand how it works, but...
Who's the first guy who figured that out, by the way?
I don't know. Some perv? Some weird perv who fucked it after?
I want to be a girl. Oh, yeah, dude. I'll hook you up.
Look up a guy named John Money and you'll find the answer to that question.
Is it seriously?
Is that really his name? His name is John Money?
Yeah, there was a guy, John Money, who was... a proponent of transgender surgery. There's actually a famous case where like a pair of twin brothers who were like, one of them was circumcised and the circumcision went wrong and the surgeons had to cut off his penis. So John Money's solution was to flay it into a vagina and raise the boy as a girl.
Right. Like, so this entire, you're right.
Yeah. His entire life, he didn't know he was a biological, you know, boy. He was later told when he was in his 20s.
Yeah, he became a dyke. Yeah, that was his whole deal.
He ended up committing suicide.
Yeah, that
as a lot of them do.
Dude, I always think of this. It was YouTube suggested it to me the other day. Was it Matt? You would know this. Maybe Josh, you would. Was it Wendy Carlos or Wendy? It's Wendy Carlos, the really good synth. Music maker or whatever.
Did the soundtrack to Clockwork Orange.
Yes. Yeah. And I saw this comment one time from somebody who had like seen some early thing about how to use the Moog synthesizer like on YouTube or whatever, and was like, I just thought it was cool that like some lady would dress, you know, like this or whatever, and then was devastated to find out that that's Walter. And it was actually just like a really gay dude.
That's hilarious.
Oh, it rules.
The most horrifying movie I've ever seen has to do with somebody transitioning to do a revenge on somebody. It's a
Sleepaway Camp.
No, it's It's Almodovar, I think. And it's a movie called The Skin I Live In. And dude, it is. I can't wait for them to remake it. Well, they probably won't because they'll say it's transphobic. But
they should remake it, except it's like Iron Man.
Yeah, it's the most fucking horrific thing I've ever watched, and I can't really divulge what it is without ruining the twist of the movie. But
well, what's the twist of the movie? Is it's like a tranny? That's the thing.
Yeah, sort of. But the whole story of like what who the transgender person is fucking morbid and crazy.
I'm gonna go ahead and ruin this for you right now. Okay, nobody is gonna watch this movie because we have authors.
But
on
it's
all the time.
But it's what's his name from Desperado? It's Antonio Banderas.
Oh, and Banderas is in there.
Yeah.
Oh, dude. Muy bueno with them Banderas. Oh, god damn it. All right, I might have to watch that.
Yeah, it's definitely muy mal. I would not recommend it to anybody who's squeamish.
Do you guys know the synth musician Momus, the Scottish musician? He did an album in the 90s. One of the songs was about Wendy Carlos traveling back in time to marry her pre-surgery self. Wendy Carlos sued him for libel and won $50,000.
Why? Time travel's not real.
I don't understand it either, but Wendy
Isn't
Carlos
that
won-
insane?
Well, it was in Britain, so, you know, they have much looser libel laws. Momus had to do, like, a special album where, like, everyone paid him, like, $5,000 to, like, you know, get the money for the libel suit. Because this was in the era before GoFundMe.
That's, I don't know. One thing I'm finding out recently through Wendy Carlos is... Trannies have been around forever, and people always previously were like, whoa, you're fucking weird, gross. And then now they're like, hey, let's put you in charge of, like, all tech companies. You and Indians. Like, yeah. I don't know what the deal is.
Yeah, 30 years ago it was like, ew, dude, and now it's like, do you want to run Ford?
Yeah. What happened?
All the cars next year are convertibles, even the vans. You're just like, what the fuck is this decision?
I don't know what this button does, but I feel more feminine when I push it. Like, it's, you know, like, you don't have a, help me with this one. You don't have a shifter anymore. It's, oh my God, it's actually true.
Yeah, it's a push button to start. You just push the button to start. You don't even have a key. There's no insertion. Our vehicles are insertionless.
What the fuck? I was trying to do a bit. It's true. They've got us. Fuck.
Yeah.
God damn.
The silent infiltration.
Yeah. How long before you start hearing people talk about how the electric vehicles charger is too phallic?
Oh yeah, because it has to, you know, it's got to go in there like a snake, and you know, but they like snakes though. They like snakes. They are snakes. They're demons. All of them are demons.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, it's obviously phallic. We all know how many times we've seen people getting fucked to death at the Whole Foods parking garage.
Dude, I'm just really worried. I'm just now really worried about electric cars. That's the new thing that I'll sit in my fucking office at work and go, well, we're all going to hell because of electric cars. This is cool. This is fine.
Well, the problem that I have with electric cars is, like, the range is absurd. Like, you can go 300 miles. You're like, you know, that's just a day up and down in LA, right? Like,
yeah. How are you going to Vegas? You're not getting to Vegas. Yeah,
you got. Oh, I got to stop and charge for a half hour on the way to Vegas. No, thank you.
I'm too drunk to do that. I've driven from LA to Vegas. It rules. It's great. You gotta have a gas powered vehicle to do that. Right.
Yeah, you know. Dude, I have a hybrid now that gets like 600 miles to the tank. I go to Vegas and back on one tank. I'm stopping to charge for.
Yeah, you can't. But like, dude, there's tons of Teslas over here. I'm in Florida now, and there's a ton of Teslas over here. And
here
that's
too.
Great. But they're not going, you know, they're not going to Atlantic City on that motherfucker. Like, the thing is, it used to be, back in the day, the only thing you'd have to be worried about driving to Vegas from LA or Atlantic City to, you know, from fucking Florida would be, how drunk are you? And now, what are we doing with this? And you get the Pete Buttigieg, the whole guy, and he goes, hey, just buy a $108,000 car.
Yeah, how many people do you know? Well, I don't know how many friends you still have in LA or out here, or maybe if there's any in Florida, but I know people that have a fucking Tesla and then have like seven roommates. And it's like, what are you doing, bro?
Dude, LA's car rich, house poor, though. It's always been
so fucking ridiculous, man. I mean, people make fun of me for being poor. I'm like, I don't have roommates. Like, me and my girlfriend live in a two-bedroom apartment. We pay our rent by ourselves. Like, we don't have 10 roommates.
You're
that's
rich.
Expensive
Tesla.
Enough.
Owning a Tesla, seven roommates. That's the white version of N-word rich.
Yeah. It's wigger rich, right? I believe that's what you call that.
I don't know how you're still in LA. Like, I've checked several people that, like, their Twitters, who their Twitters are way larger than me and all of that. You know, I never took off. Everybody else I knew ever fucking took off. But Most of those people don't fucking live in LA anymore, man. Like, they all moved out to, you know, back where they're from and shit.
I'd like to move at some point. If I do move, I'll probably move to South Carolina.
South Carolina, sure, but there's not
thing I like about that, I just like that city, like I Charleston area.
Right.
But you're a stone's throw from Atlanta. You're not too far from Nashville. You're not too far from Florida. You're like 4 hours from Jacksonville. So I just like that it's, you know, you're basically an hour flight to everywhere I would ever have to go from over there. And then it's a very cool place to live.
Good luck. Hey, good luck with your flight, asshole. You've been vaccinated?
Yeah, touche.
No, I mean, my girlfriend is from the Orlando area. So we moved down here and I hate it here. I think it's LA, but worse. It's LA with rednecks. So it's the worst of every fucking thing you ever get. But, you know, we got DeSantis. It's fine. And he's not going to poke me with anything. So.
Yeah, it's pretty fucking awful here. I got to stay off the internet living in LA because all I see now, all that my friends share, are all these fucking like home invasion videos and robberies and fucking people held at gunpoint. It's just like, cool.
Well, I saw one over in Santa Monica, which when I lived there was a great area, you know, and somebody just comes over with a gun and robs people while they're eating. And they just go, oh, well, sure. I was going to tip generously anyway, but here's my wallet.
Yeah.
Like it's, ugh.
Yeah, and those people will happily vote for, you know, Gavin Newsom. They're just like, oh, you know, if we weren't so bad to black people for 5,000 years, we wouldn't need to, you know, let them rob us. So it's our fault, really.
I love it. I honestly love it. I like it when bad shit happens to California. I'm sorry, Josh, but I do. I like it when bad shit happens.
All my other friends around the country are like, yeah, fuck California. Not you, but we like you, but fuck California.
Yeah, I don't want bad things to happen to you or your girlfriend or anything like that. But like when I see I saw this San Francisco news thing the other day and they were like, there's so many tents outside of our expensive building.
Let me tell you something. If something happened to my girlfriend, like she was working downtown and she got assaulted or something by one of these fucking maniacs that live in Skid Row, you will see me on the news. I'll be the guy down there cutting everybody's fucking heads off until the police shoot me to death. I'm not kidding.
Doing a public service.
I will literally be, I will be down there with a chainsaw and it will be a fucking bloodbath. I can't tell you how many times I'm driving through that part of the city and I go, why don't I just start hitting these motherfuckers?
Well, you can't.
Well, you know, but, or am I, you can't, but, or would I be a hero?
Well, in my eyes, you know.
I mean, somebody's got to do something about this fucking
Who are you trying to impress? Me and Matt? Or, you know,
Buddha? No, man, it's my sense of civic duty. Some people show up to jury duty. Other people turn their vehicle into a machine of death and do God's work.
Well, there's a 99% probability you'll be back in the U.S. in a week or two. So it'll be fun after 5-year absence to observe the social degradation. I've only been to LA once, about 5 years ago, actually. And LA is more like Manila than any American city. And the reason I specify Manila is because I live in Mexico and there aren't tent cities here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Matt's been all over the fucking world. We've been doing this podcast for 2 years off and on, kind of. He's been all over the damn world. And Mexico seems pretty dope.
Yeah, how many countries have I been in since we started this podcast? Georgia, Armenia, Greece, Albania, North Macedonia, Serbia, Bosnia, Mexico, and Turkey. So, and there's a few more in that. Hungary, UK, Poland, Slovakia, Ukraine, Sweden, the Philippines. So
he's been kicked out of every one of them for rape.
My God. Well, first of all, this is how I know you're lying, is because half of those countries, there's no such crime as rape.
Now, Matt's always been great. He's been to like a ton of different places. And he acts like every place is kind of different. But the only thing that I've found is it's not America, so it's gay.
Right. Yeah, I'm pretty sure in like Bosnia or Serbia, they're just like, there is no rape. But if you steal another man's property and have sex with it, that is a crime.
There's only there's no stealing pussy from the pussy, but you can steal it from another man. This is a crime.
Accurate. Accurate, Matt. Your turn.
Yeah, that's pretty accurate.
There we go.
I mean, they always do complain about domestic violence in these countries, so.
Who's they?
The NGOs, obviously. The NGOs obviously are complaining about it.
Well, George Soros can stick it. All right. That's they got the best way of living. Punching and fucking. That's the way that I think.
Nice.
Serbia has a lesbian for a prime minister, so like even the lesbians are getting in on it there.
But they always have. Dude, you know this. Lesbos punch each other more than, you know, straight couples do.
Yeah, that's actually a fact.
It is. There's more domestic violence. That is true, but like in Serbia now it's a national sport.
Well, Serbia sounds cool. I'd like to I would love if we need to get Dana White to get down there and get these Lesbos to punch each other. This would be sweet. Because Ronda Rousey sucked, all right? We all thought she ruled. She sucked. Let's get those Serbian bitches to just hit each other.
I have never seen as many softball players on the street as I have in in Belgrade. Any American city is pales in comparison just to like all these 6'5" softball players just roaming the streets of Serbia.
I don't like Europe. I don't want to go. I like all our hot black women that we have over here.
Hilarious.
Is it? I need your approval, Josh. I don't know.
But yeah, I have to be back in the US. I'm not looking forward to that. So yeah.
Yeah, Matt's been out of the US through the entire Trump presidency, which means that he is a traitor.
It also means I actually did all the things that I did the thing that the liberals said they would, but they didn't.
Yeah, that's true. But hey, I want to blow up the spot here. Josh didn't even vote for Trump the first time.
I didn't. No, I didn't. I voted for Gary Johnson.
What a fucking goober. What is Aleppo? What, dude, I'm libertarian as shit. Also, is that a grape or a blue Powerade?
Blue. There's only that's, blue. That's grape the is best. Grape, what am I, fucking Suge Knight?
Yeah, exactly. Okay, I'm just making sure.
There's one flavor of Powerade, and that's blue. There's one flavor of vitamin water, and it's lemonade. Everything else is piss.
Damn. All right, he's right. Okay, he is white, people. Nobody fucking freak out. Now, you didn't vote for Trump, goddammit.
Not the first time. I did vote for him in 2020.
Oh, but it didn't count because they stole it?
Right, yeah. I definitely, it's amazing. What's weird is I put it in this box and then the box got up and threw itself into the ocean. So I think my vote got counted, but I don't know.
No, that was a Biden vote.
Filled in a mail-in ballot, but then it just mysteriously just lit ablaze as soon as you put it in the mailbox.
Yeah. It's ridiculous. Did you see the California thing where they showed you could literally like hold a cell phone light under the ballot and see who you voted for in California?
Oh yeah, and then they had like the circle in the return slip on the Gavin Newsom shit. I mean, it's fucking so obvious at this point. Yeah, dude, I guarantee that somebody voted for somebody that I didn't vote for in California because I haven't unregistered in California.
Yeah,
guarantee it. Well, in 2016, I got 5 fucking "Hey, you should vote" slips. Being a good person, I only voted for Trump once.
Yeah,
but. It's just amazing.
There's no amount of proof that could come out that anybody who wanted him to be gone would ever accept.
Oh yeah.
Like you could literally have live tape of Kamala and Joe Biden talking with each other about stealing the election, and people would be like, "That's doctored.
We did it, Joe. You're gonna be
dude." Passing. Is there anyone more repugnant in American politics than Kamala Harris?
28% approval rating right now.
Ugh.
And that was the last thing. People
do you know the Democrats are fucked when they're like, "We don't even think we can run the incumbent president again."
Yeah, dude. Biden's talking about running in 2024.
Well, he has to though. Because if he says that he's not gonna run again, then he's a lame duck. He's gotta do it. He's got to say that he's running. He's not
true, but it's still laughable given how old he is.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Well, I mean, he's also just saying basically that Fauci's the president at this point. It's really weird, the things that he says. You know.
Yeah. I try not to pay attention because I catch that gleam in his eye when I can tell he's shitting his pants and I just tune out.
Now, maybe, like, he can't run for president. Maybe he can walk for president.
Oh.
Yeah, how is that guy not in a fucking wheelchair yet? It's coming.
Nobody's coming. He hasn't come for years, dude. Like, not a blue chew could help him.
Poofs of dust.
Which seems like awesome. I want to like, I want to.
You want to get the president's dick working again? That's your goal?
Well, it worked for, Monica Lewinsky. I mean, shit, I need to get famous right now. But
yeah, wasn't there an interview Trump did one time where the interviewer was like, you know, they talk a lot about your hands and what that might mean. And he was like, there's no problems there. Trust me when I tell you. I fuck everything I want. It's fine.
They're fantastic hands. There's no problem with them. And there's no problem with anything else. I assure you.
Well, you know, his secret is that he's stooping a woman who's 30 years younger than him.
Yeah. And Melania's hot as fuck. She's old, but she rules, dude. I would fuck Melania Trump. Everybody would. If I fuck Melania Trump, Erica would be like, well, how was it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
erectile dysfunction is caused by men with old, ugly wives. Okay, that's a scientific fact.
Yeah, that sounds right, though.
Yeah, I can back that up.
And it's like, Michael Savage joked years ago that, like, you know, one of the side effects of Viagra is, like, reduced, like, you know, eye damage or whatever. And Michael Savage was like, if your wife is old, isn't that kind of a benefit?
Man, dude, I hate that Michael Savage is still alive and Rush isn't. I was thinking about Rush today because I was listening to Glenn Beck and I was like, this is just such lukewarm takes. I need Rush.
Yeah, I'm amazed that he's alive too. He's like got to be like 80 or something.
Yeah.
Must have been all those weird health supplements.
That's one thing. If there's anything I despise as much as the left or almost as much as the left is the pearl clutching conservative right.
Oh, yeah.
Who are just like, you know, we don't curse. It's like, fuck you.
Well, they're all, aren't they all fucking writing for New York Times now at this point? Like, I mean, the only thing you have that's kind of fence sitting is like people that are like, I'm a classical liberal, which are like Tim Pool and shit. But like
Dave Rubin,
Jordan Peterson. Yeah, right. Like those guys that, fine, whatever. I look at them as like the jelly that gets people involved before they, you know, really start to be like, hey, what's up? Crime statistics. You know, they seem fine. They don't bother me as much as they seem to bother other people. I don't care if somebody has lukewarm takes because they're a great entry point for, you know, everyone else to really start thinking about like, hey, what's the problem? Well, we got an overpopulation of certain individuals type of, you know, thing.
Well, Tim Pool's power level has been going up. You see some of the stuff
he's going crazy.
It must be because of the eye drug. Okay. He took an antiparasitic and all of a sudden, his taste got spicier.
If we say ivermectin, do we get hit with a thing on YouTube?
I don't know. I'm just saying it because it's funnier.
Ivermectin. Yeah. Well, I think parasitic removal stuff might change the way you think. I don't know. I'm looking into it online.
It unlocks your third eye.
It fucking might, dude. I've been looking into Buddhism as well. So like I'm into this whole thing.
You've been looking into it? It's been around for fucking 10,000 years. I think the literature's there.
Well, I haven't.
It isn't this thing called the
Bible.
It isn't flat Earth. I'm looking into Buddhism. Yeah, it's out there. It's not hard to find.
Well, yeah, I know. I'm looking into it, and it is not like, you know, I'm sorry, Josh.
Every religion is, if you look throughout time, I don't think God is man-made, but religion is definitely man-made. If you go back and look at all of the dogmas of all of the religions, they completely echo the socio-political vibe at the time. Like, think about Buddhism. It's like, it's sort of like this let go and let God, right? Mm-hmm. Well, you're a subservient people who were enslaved and fucking under British colonial rule. You had no free will. So, of course,
you're going to
believe Of course you're going to believe that God doesn't want you to have free will. Because
it happened before then. They did it before then. There's so many different little things of Buddhism. I'm not a Buddhist, but hey, I agree with you. But you're being a jerk about it.
But look at Roman Catholicism, consequence driven. Of course it was. Okay. They conquered everything. Of course their religion and their God is going to tell you do it or else. That was the way they ran their fucking society.
Well, I'm just telling you, I have been personally, and I don't bring it up. This is the first time I've ever brought it up. I've been looking into Buddhism, and I think that it's stupid. I'm a pessimist myself. I'm a philosophical pessimist completely myself. But it's interesting. It's something to think about. I don't know. I don't need your fucking big red fury. You look like the sun from Mario 3. All right? You know, with your bad attitude coming around here.
No idea what that reference is.
With your fucking, you know, it's like, you know what? Me and Matt have been vaping a bunch, and you look like the guy that would sell us the vapes. All right? So don't, like...
I wouldn't be within miles of a vape store, ever.
All right. Yeah, like, I felt bad about me attacking you immediately, and then you start attacking me, and my little ideas... I bought a DJ controller recently. So next you're going to tell me that I'm not going to be a world star superstar DJ.
I have never had faith in anything more than that somebody with your face and body could be a superstar DJ.
Well, I got to wear a big helmet.
If you showed me you on a lineup, you said, what does this guy do for a living? I would go DJ. I go, is that Marshmallow? Is that what's under the helmet? I assume so. If you told me you were Marshmallow right now, I'd go, probably, yeah. Are you Dead Mouse? Yeah, sure. I believe it.
Well, we've all seen Dead Mouse. He's so good at what he does. And we've seen Marshmallow. He's also so good. Shut up! That's the only thing I can say. I don't like it when you make fun of me for things that
I'm
are
not
correct.
Making fun of you. I'm just documenting the truth.
Oh man!
Because if I saw Brian in the street, it's like, he's the guy who mops up the jizz at the people.
that's what you think that look is?
Yeah, the rat like look. You know that.
I like rats. They're great. I watch I stream tons of rat videos all the time.
Yeah.
I don't like it. I don't like, you know, we could do a whole show of this. We call it Six and a Half Men.
was that the attempted dig? That was it?
Yeah, it was the best I got. You're fat. You're all fat. Fuck you.
Yeah, but that's like, I can fix that. Do you know how much work it would take for you to not look like a DJ?
Well,
you're gonna have to grow your hair out, cut it normal. You're gonna have to buy a whole new wardrobe, tan.
Probably get the nose reduced.
Get a fucking beard going. I could just eat salads for 6 months, and I got. What do you got on me then?
No, I'm gonna be a world class DJ. DJ shit.
DJ shit dick.
Shitty dick nipples. Okay. I'm Zed. That's my name. DJ Shitting Dick Nipples.
I always thought it would be funny to be a... I always thought a fun DJ for name for a fat guy would be DJ Gravy Fingers.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Because they're so smooth, goddammit.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Gravy Fingers. Yeah, exactly. Damn. And also probably covered in gravy because he's fucking fat.
Man. I'm telling you.
If he was black, though, you'd have to spell it Fingaz. A-Z at the end. Gravy Fingaz.
And if he was Italian, you'd have to make him sauces, sauce fingers.
Yeah, exactly. What was the? Wasn't there an actual actor whose name was like Sticky Fingers?
I fucking hope so.
Yes,
but I've
he's
never
an American. He's an American rapper, and he was in that movie like
Sticky Fingers.
It's like
what
Dracula 2000.
Yeah, which is a terrible movie.
Yeah, Sticky Fingers.
Well, okay.
There's he was in Dead Presidents, Into Deep, which was a movie, I believe, with DMX. No, no. Omar Epps and LL Cool J. That shows you how good I am at
Sticky Fingers.
I was going to say, Sticky Fingers sounds like a minor villain in a Insane Clown Posse movie.
Yeah, Sticky Fingers. I'm sorry. I got my horror movies mixed up. He was in Leprechaun, Back to the Hood.
Yeah, well, that's
Back
why
to
I know
the
it.
Hood.
Well, and that's also, I'm sorry, dude, Matt, if you're saying that, like, he was the third guy in the squad of Home Alone, because they were originally the Wet Finger the Wet Bandits.
Yeah, and then they were the Sticky Bandits.
Right. Yeah. Man, Home Alone 1 and 2 rule. Happy Christmas, everybody! God damn. Josh, are you a Christmas guy or are you one of these Grinches?
No, I'm a Christmas guy all the way. I'm actually bummed I don't have my tree up yet. I've just been too fucking busy.
Bro, I'm going to send you a picture of my tree. Like, Erica made the tree and it looks so good. Matt, do you have a tree up yet?
I don't have room for a tree.
No, let me get this straight. Let me see if you guys agree with me. Isn't the gender roles the man puts up the tree and the woman decorates it?
I just made her do it because I have to go to work.
Yeah, but am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong.
Because I've been telling mine. I'm like, I'll put it up, and then you decorate it. She's like, I don't want to decorate it. I go, you fucking decorate it.
Well, decorations are like, you know, listen, that's the family thing.
Your fucking people right. Did 9/11. Your penalty is you decorate the tree for the rest of your life. That's the fucking penalty.
All right, Josh is
and
married
you put that fucking
Jew.
American flag angel at the top, and you fucking sing that national anthem to it.
Josh is married to a Jewish lady, and
Persian. She's not Jewish. I like how I said your people did 9/11, and you said I'm with a Jewish woman. That's
well, I don't know the truth.
No, she's Middle Eastern.
Well, you know, no. Israel's the Middle East. Go ask. This is the funniest thing. So I've known people from Israel. And that is something they ask themselves, each other, or like, are we Middle Eastern or are we white? And I think that's interesting because, like, over here, you know, us, like, racist people or whatever, like, oh, they pretend to be white. But there's a ton of Jewish people that are like, no, we're Middle Eastern. And a lot of that is in, you know, actual fucking Israel. And I think that's interesting. I think that's interesting that there's a whole subsect of people that are Jewish that don't consider themselves white at all. They consider themselves
Well, they've got like, you know, there's different racial divisions. Like, there's the Ashkenazim Jews. They're like the Jews we generally know. They came from Germany originally.
I prefer the Ashbagash Jews. You know what I'm talking about? A lot of denim.
And then there's the Sephardic Jews who are from like Spain, Portugal, and like North Africa. So, you know, they're the ones who are more Middle Eastern.
Yeah, let's feel really bad for the Jews, is what I'm saying.
The way you say it, I can't tell if you're saying the juice or the Jews. Like, you're talking about Orenthal James Simpson?
Wait, yeah, that's what Hanukkah's really about.
The juice.
The juice.
Yes. That's what I'm going to start doing from now on. I'll be like, I don't know if you guys know this, but the juice did 9/11. And then it's just a picture of OJ in front of the burning towers. That's going to be my code. Let's get the merch going to the fans in the fucking chat. Let's get some juice did 9/11 shirts going. And it's just
like
OJ in front of the Twin Towers.
Yeah, I'd like to discuss the JQ. Should I pick raspberry or orange?
Yeah.
By the way,
Juice run Hollywood. I don't know if you know this, but the Juice run Hollywood. just a picture of Juice from Naked Gun.
Oh, Naked Gun ruled. Naked Gun was such a good. I wanted to ask you this while I have you here, Mr. Professional Comedian Josh Jennings. Do you ever get tired of memes? Because I don't think they're that funny.
Yeah, I think some of them are pretty fucking dumb.
I think most of them are pretty fucking dumb. And
yeah, there's
occasionally
you'll get a good one that's funny, but yeah, there's a lot of them that are just stupid and overused.
Well, I'm tired of people using the same format to send a tweet to be like, you know, woke, whatever. I mean, it's like it's tired. It's dumb. The first time I saw it, I was like, hey, that's okay. And then it turns out that this is just some shit that people have repeated over and over and over again. And we've had, you know, in-depth, stupid conversations about, like, repetition makes people dumb.
Cringe, Brian. Cringe.
What? Yeah. I don't find most of the things that people do funny. And this is frustrating as shit to me. Josh, it's very frustrating to me.
Okay. I'm picking up the frustration.
I'm not that funny. I think I'm the world's only comedian, but like, I'm not that funny. And then I look on Twitter and I go, wow, you guys aren't even trying to make jokes anymore.
Yeah. Well, jokes are dangerous because if they're funny at all, you're probably offending someone. And then you're putting yourself right in the crosshairs.
Is that it? Is the people don't want to get out of the norm?
Yeah, it's like, well, you know, South Park covered this beautifully on that pandemic episode last week, or the post-pandemic special.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, I saw that. Well, there was only three good jokes in that, and the only one I remember was shellfish.
Yeah, that was good. That it's was a really general funny. Fear of shell. It's a general sense of shellfishness.
Yeah, that was funny.
That was a
and
good
when bit. And when Kenny went and coughed after he did the whole time travel thing.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. But I ultimately. You know, like when they're doing Jimmy, you know, constantly setting things up that sound like they're going to be racist jokes, and then they're just compliments and pandering.
Right.
Like, that's what the real LA comedy scene has become.
Yeah, I'm not surprised by that.
It's
I mean,
like literally like a fucking white comic going on stage and being like, "Aren't white people awful?" it's pretty gross.
That's what's so fucking terrible to me, like,
and that makes me want to go the other way. Like, that makes me want to go so far the other direction and being offensive.
I agree. The Orlando comedy scene is pretty good, by the way. Everybody here rules, from what I can tell. They're pretty great and very accepting of both woke comedy as well as, you know, like, offensive comedy.
They love the N-word in Orlando.
Well, I haven't.
Looks like I found my new home.
Okay. The reason I remember Josh Jenny is because he said the funniest joke that I've ever heard in my entire life. And I'm not sure if you remember this, but, you know, clench your butthole. He goes, a friend of mine said that AIDS came from
Mars. Oh my God. Yeah, this is the most offensive joke I've ever written and ever told.
It's the best.
Do you want me to say it?
Yeah.
That way you don't get in trouble. So, and I put this on Twitter, by the way, before Food Network gave me a show. They had saw this tweet and then gave me a show.
It's the best joke. It's what I remembered of you besides you being a nice guy.
I said, I was watching this documentary last night and I found out that AIDS originally came from monkeys. And I also found out they get really mad when you call them that.
It's the best joke. It's so funny. And it's really harmless. You know, it's like, it doesn't matter. Nobody dies when you say it, but it's the best joke that for years, literally for years until you came here, I was like, I would like, Josh Jenny told me the best joke, you know, like, I always loved that joke. Like, mine was always like, I started flossing recently. Apparently I've been eating a lot of blood.
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing. I've stopped telling that joke because I fucking hate it. But that was my big.
Yeah, I think Annie Letterman did that bit on her house party, Adam Devine's house party set.
Bullshit! I fucking did it first.
I'm not saying you did. I'm not saying you didn't. I'm just saying I know she did that on her house party
set. I proved on Reddit that I did it first because somebody, when I did like a stand up shot.
Oh, did they try to say that you lifted it from her? Okay.
And then I was like, nope, I did it first.
It's so funny because like people who don't like me came out to like some private event show I did and tried to record my set or recorded my set and then tried to compare it to like a Norm Macdonald joke about Hitler when Norm died. Like people were sharing this clip and it was like, he was just like, oh, I was always afraid I'd fall in love with Hitler. I'd get lost in his beautiful eyes. And I did a joke about, I do a bit about, it's like a newer bit about time travel where, I'm like, you know, if you go by Bill and Ted rules, if we ever invent time travel, then somebody surely would have gone back and killed Hitler by now. But if he's still alive, meaning like we would never know he existed based on the Bill and Ted time travel rules. So the fact that we still know of his existence means no one's ever done that, which means we never invent time travel, or everyone who's gone back to kill him has been convinced not to. And I joke about him being like, listen, I got some PowerPoints and everything. And next thing you know, you're buying a timeshare in Auschwitz and he's got you duped. And then I talk about the fact that, I pivot the fucking bit way away from that, where I go like, there's other people that I think are worse in history that I would go back and kill that aren't Hitler. Like, I think Phil Kinzer is the worst person in the world, and I would go back in time and kill Phil Kinzer. Phil Kinzer is the guy who invented bumpers for bowling for children. And so in my mind, Phil Kinzer actually created or started the downfall of Western society by creating an advantage in a sport where everyone can win. You absolutely destroyed meritocracy forever. I think if I told Hitler about Phil Kinzer, he'd be like, we got to do something about this motherfucker. And then I go, and why do we always assume that Hitler himself was never sent back through time to stop something way, way worse than the Nazis, like the juice? Which is, again, it's like the same thing that you referenced earlier. It's like, it's a hilarious bit because we have to believe time travel's real to even get there. You know what I mean?
So no, it's like, no. The fact that you ever thought that means you're a demon.
Yeah. And it's just like, but it's like comedians should always be racing to what is the funniest thing I could possibly say. And the idea that you're going to believe that Hitler is like a Terminator sent back through time to stop something. What could possibly be worse than the Nazis? And then of course, the last thing anyone would think to say would be the Jews, which is why that fucking bit is hilarious.
I agree with you. Right. Entirely.
And so it's like you do that bit. And I did that joke in front of an all Jewish conservative thing. And they got tight. They got a little tight. But it's just like, calm down. Obviously, we didn't do it. You're all still here. Right.
Did Shapiro's and Goldberg's really, you know, not laugh? Like, I mean,
come on, man. It's a funny bit. It's a funny premise. Also, the idea that I think the guy who made bowling bumpers is worse than Hitler is also hilarious.
Dude, I don't know. People don't know how to laugh anymore is the thing. I don't think people know how to fucking laugh anymore.
No,
especially
not
the Jews. But, you know. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, you would think I'd be like, listen, if let's assume it's real and you guys survived it, I don't think my joke is going to be a problem, right? Like, I think if you were like, my grandmother was a Holocaust survivor, I go, yeah, and if you told her that joke bothered you, she'd tell you to grow some fucking balls and move on.
If somebody ever told me my grandmother was a Holocaust survivor, there's no way I wouldn't just double over laughing. Like, there's just no way, dude. Like, the Holocaust is bad and happened and all that shit. But let's just take that for what it is. The Holocaust happened. Definitely. For sure. There's no questions about it. Nope. There's no questions about it. It's still funny.
The joke or the Holocaust?
Well, let's move on.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, by the way, to answer something quick in the chat, both Cowboy Roland and the Right Honorable asked if they have Christmas trees in Mexico. They do, actually, but the more popular tradition is the Nacimiento, the nativity scene.
The Nazi memento?
Oh my God! You guys have Nazi mementos for
Jesus
Christmas?
Fuck!
Well, there is a lot of Nazi stuff down here, but with regards to Christmas, the most important thing that Mexican families do is like the nativity scene. Like, they'll have a little nativity scene in their house with Jesus in the manger and stuff. That's more important than the tree.
Do they do that, though, because they have more extra babies laying around than trees? Like, I'm not going out to buy a tree. Just use one of the babies. Put it in a fucking thing. It's the nativity scene. There you go. Bada bing.
But yeah, that's like, ideally they want to have both.
Honey, we got to do the nativity scene. Go out to the baby patch and get us a fresh one.
Plus the other thing, too. They have pine trees down there.
Honey, I've been cutting down these babies all day. I mean, what I gotta make for Jude, your grandmother, your mother. I gotta do these babies for everybody.
I like how the Mexican spring babies have become Italian eventually.
But yeah, the nativity scenes are more popular. Plus, you have to go further to get like pine trees here because they're all the way up in the mountains. Like all the trees where I live are just palm trees. So it's like a palm tree as a Christmas tree wouldn't really work.
Well, that's not true.
Yeah, tell that to Florida City Planning. They're just like, just hang lights from it. It counts.
Yeah, that's not. Yeah, that's not. You can get one of those. We have a beautiful fake tree that we just got that, I'm excited because, like, I love Christmas. So Erica's decorated a wonderful fucking Christmas tree for our Christmas. And I don't know what to get her. I think I just, like, I'm going to give her a bunch of boxes of $5 Amazon gift cards. Because, like, what am I supposed... Like, she didn't tell me what I'm supposed to fucking buy for her. I've asked her. I'm like, hey, what do you want? And she's like, oh, I don't know. So it's like, all right, well, here's fucking 15 Amazon gift cards in a box. Because that's fine. I'm not dealing with that shit.
My whole list was just like, here's shit I need for work.
Well, dude. All right, you want to say... Okay, hold on.
Literally, my Christmas list was lighting, camera rig shit, and hard drives. That was it. That's like my entire Christmas list.
That's an RE 320, right?
What?
That's an RE320 you have, right?
This is a, I don't know what the model number is, but
it's an RE320.
It's a Rode Podcaster.
Oh, it's a Rode Podcaster. That's a really good mic.
Yeah, it's a USB mic.
Okay, yeah, I thought you had the RE320. No, Rode Podcaster.
No, but I'll tell you,
it's good,
but this system, like, I all my mics are USB mics, and then I have them built into a software aggregate device instead of using an audio interface.
What do you use to mix?
Logic.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, so it works well for audio and everything, but like for live streaming, it sucks because you can get more latency with this mic than you get with like an analog mic going in through an interface. So occasionally you'll get like, sometimes my mic will jumble or, you know, there'll be some lag or whatever.
It's been fine for a while. And also I think that the wind, the fucking sock. Yeah. Yeah. That is bullshit. It looks cooler without it. And it doesn't make a difference.
Well, this one actually has one built in, so you actually don't need this, but it does. I feel like I get too loud sometimes, so I put this on just as extra protection.
I don't know. Yell the N-word.
That's my podcast. What are we trying to infringe on my intellectual property?
No, you know what? Check this out. This is who I am now these days.
If he goes and gets his DJ equipment, I swear to God. Oh, my God, he did.
All right,
that's it.
So
you don't even have real turntables. You got the digital guys.
I'm sorry. These are pretty cool. This is what my live stream is gonna be on New Year's. Is I've already been looking out for tunes and everything. This is gonna rule, and I'm getting real good at doing it. Real good. I mean, not very good, but it's gonna be good. I promise. This rules. This is the best thing I've ever bought.
Have you used it yet?
Yeah, dude, I'm terrible. It's not great.
Those will probably be appearing on the show soon enough when I...
Oh, my God. As soon as I just get the fucking virtual cable going on, I've got, you know, the show will be nothing but fart sounds and... you know, disco music. It'll be really bad.
Yeah, I've always wanted to hear what it sounds like for somebody to scratch a fart sound effect. That's going to be really...
Well, you got to tune in.
And every time I make fun of Brian for being a libertarian, he'll have like the sound clip from Fallout 3, Liberty Prime. Communism is the very definition of failure.
Well, that's true, damn it! Now,
It's like he says in Tropic Thunder, just because it's a song don't make it not true, man.
What? Well, Now, listen here, Matt, you fucking communist. Josh Jenny is a libertarian.
Yeah, as best as I can be.
It's, you know, I'm going to get fucking Dave Smith on here one time, too. And then you're going to have to sit there with your communist ideals and shut the fuck up. It's, Matt's a communist, Josh. Matt's a communist.
Oh, yeah?
He's a communist.
He regards everyone to the left of Friedrich Hayek as a communist.
Yeah.
No, well, all you can eat pussy seem to work out, so.
Well, see, nobody needed to hear what he said. Because you're a communist. things are okay.
How long are we going for, man? I got.
We're ready. We're ready to do it.
2 hours is a good cutoff, but yeah, I've got some Streamlabs tips to read before that. People.
Okay, let's get into it. Let's do it.
Cool. Let's read those.
Yeah, you're a communist.
I was gonna say, Brad, if you don't know what to get the old lady for Christmas, might I interest you in some Nazi mementos?
Well, literally, I would buy that. Yeah.
But anyway, Streamlabs tips. If you want to get any last minute ones, do it now. Streamlabs.com/Terror House Magazine. Anyway, the Right Honorable for $3. Good guess, boys. Best of luck to Josh.
Oh, thank you.
I don't know what that means.
He was complimenting Josh.
Yeah, oh, good. Thank you.
But yeah,
it's not a question.
It's a comment, and he paid money for it.
He could go, he's a shitty guest, and I wish him death.
Well, here's the thing is, most podcasts don't do this. That $3 out of all of it after the fee, you're getting a little bit of it. So welcome to your fucking, 60 cents, boy.
I know. That's what's so funny. I have like super followers now on Twitter and it's like $3 a month. And then after Twitter takes their piece and Stripe takes their piece, it's like, here's your $2.
Well, at least you can operate. Oh, yeah, I meant to ask you about that. It's fine. We'll do it. Never, probably. But the point is, you're allowed a third of whatever is coming.
Yeah. Okay.
And next, Matt? Mr. Mustache?
That's the only one so far.
Oh, that's the only one. Okay, so we nailed it. Yeah. All right, well. Well, this was fun. Thank you, Josh, for coming on, man.
Thank you for having me, man.
Definitely. Is there anything you'd like to plug before we go?
No, just tell people. I mean, I got tons of shit to plug, man. Just go to joshdennycomedy.com. You can catch all my stuff there. Josh Denny on Twitter, Instagram. I do a show on Censored TV called Next Week Tonight. There'll be a new episode of that up tomorrow night. And then I do a podcast called Jankum. And and then actually we're doing a Twitter Spaces version of that show tomorrow for the first time ever, where anybody on Twitter can chime in and talk to me on Twitter.
Future news, Josh Jenny's not on Twitter anymore.
Right, yeah. That'll be a safe one. We got to squeeze every dime out of Twitter we can until they deplatform me.
It'll just be an endless succession of the N-word.
Yeah, dude, it's not like I wouldn't do that if I were you, to be honest. Everybody that you remember that big night when, like, the day after Tony Sotomayor did his fucking big thing, and then all the race war happened on Twitter, all those people got banned, dude. I'd be very careful about doing that.
Yeah, well, I think all I'll have to do is just use a black avatar and title it White People is the Devil, and I think we'll be fine.
IZ.
I won't start this out. Yes, Locals. Yeah, I'm on Locals.
Go to Locals because he's not going to be on Twitter much longer.
Yeah. And Brian, anything you want to plug?
Just DLive. Yeah, go to DLive.tv/Brian. I'm the last guy on that piece of the internet. And then when I get banned, I'll just start bugging Josh Jenny and be like, hi, I'd like to also be on band.tv. for my new show, The N-Word.
Then we already have that show on censored.tv. It's it's all of them.
But yeah, and as for me, you can check out my website at mattforney.com. Anyway, that's it for the show. TerrorHousePress.com, TerrorHouseMag.com for daily updates. All episodes of the show are at TerrorHouseRadio.com. Social media links in the description.
Illegitimate Comedy.
No, okay. No, it's not yet. The show is presented by Katya Dag. Music, intro music by Zero Pulse. And Illegitimate on cover on them.
There it is.
Bastards grinding down. I'm Matt Forney with Brian Proctor and Josh Denny. And we are out.
I hate it. I hate it.